How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Listeners, welcome back to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists. This is Andrew.
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hello.
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing today? Tonight?
Pretty good. this evening.
This evening?
For me.
Which you and I have very different definitions on what is evening.
We do. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. All right. I think that you and I are a great team, and I want to read to the listeners our text message from earlier.
Which one? Which one?
Let me just read the whole thing, and as a little bit of backstory. So Michelle, when her and I are figuring out when we're going to record, both of us have pretty crazy busy lives, so we try and schedule it. You know, we can advance if we can, but sometimes it's about 30 minutes in advance or sometimes it's not. It's somewhere in between. This one happened to be, a week in advance. We thought we were pretty awesome about that. And so we talked about, hey, what time? Earlier today at 10:35, we said, okay, it's going to be 6 o'clock my time, which is 9 o'clock your time. And then at 5:26 my time, I said, you're going to be ready in about 30 minutes? Okay, and that's where the story begins. Okay, so I said, you going to be ready in about 30 minutes? And Michelle said, I think so. We're such a good team. If I haven't said that already, I love that you pick up on all of the things that I'm dropping. Anyways, he said, I think so. Waiting on someone to pick up another thing I sold on Craigslist. I said, was it your soul? Oh, was it your dignity? I can do better. And then you said, both. Buy one, get one, which had me just cracking up. I was like, I can do better. I just woke up from a nap, but great. And you said, of course, these people are late. And I said, maybe their plot for murdering you took longer to plan than expected, because that's what happens with Craigslist people.
Of course.
And you said, they had to buy a new shovel to bury my body. There's a Lowe's on the way to my house. I said... Oh my gosh.
We crack ourselves up. It's ridiculous.
I said, that's their first mistake. They left a paper trail. Amateurs. And then you said, maybe I took offense, by the way, of something you said coming up.
Oh God.
He said, maybe I'll be the next Making a Murderer Netflix show. And I said, I hope they feature your awesome podcast and co-host as a number one suspect. Cause I want to be on TV. That'd be great. You said, and this is what I hate. You wanted the show all to yourself. And here's the reason why I hate it, because I misread that. I thought that you were saying, you've always wanted the show to yourself. I'm like, no. But I get what you said. That was my motive for killing you.
Yeah, you wanted the show all to yourself.
Oh, yeah. And you asked, are we talking about 23andMe?
Yes.
And I said, don't try and plant evidence on your phone to try and convict me. And yes, on the 23andMe thing, which I don't have pulled up yet, so give me a minute to pull that up. Then you said, they're here and moving it out. I said, your dead body? Seems odd that you can text me from the great beyond. And then we talked about how much we hate
computers. And I was moving furniture. I would have been able to text back on that one. Yep. Sometimes our conversations are hilarious. Probably just to us.
They're better than our podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can never imagine having a different podcast co-host, Michelle. Not to get too sappy on you, but
thanks, Andrew.
That's why I like you.
Is that because you're about to see me in a few days and you're like, I got to be nice there now?
Trying to butter you up.
She's
going to
be
now.
Within punching distance of me. Yeah. I say smart comments.
Yeah. But no, I agree.
I agree. And how serendipitous it was to just stumble upon each other is pretty crazy, too. So. Mm-hmm. And listeners, if you haven't heard our story, you can listen back to that because we've said it a few times. I don't think we need to say it again.
I feel like the best representation of our story, though, was on Dental Hacks.
Oh, yeah. Like the brain trust that we did with them. And you should check out the Dental Hacks because they're a great podcast, too.
Yeah. I feel like one day we're going to have someone interview us. Kind of like maybe Carrie. Carrie does a good job interviewing. We'll just tell our story like from start to finish again.
Yeah, and that was a great podcast that Carrie did that we just launched last week.
It was wildly popular.
That's great.
We got a lot of downloads for that one. A lot.
I remember when that one came out and you said, wow, you actually sounded smart. I was like, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, like you knew what
you were doing. As opposed to every other episode that you and I do together.
Well, because I feel like you were representing Tepe on that one.
So I had to behave myself.
Very well. Yeah. You know, someone actually mentioned... they were giving me kind of critique and comment about our podcast, and they said this has just happened like last week or 2 weeks ago, and they're like, oh, you know, you guys have a pretty good rapport, but you know what, something I would really like to see is video. I'd like to see video of you guys' podcast.
No, you don't.
What are your thoughts on that?
You do not. It would all very much depend on where I'm coming from. If I am literally coming from the gym where I look like a hot, or like I did after I went whale watching, and that was a bad night for everyone. You had to look at me. I had to look at myself on the screen. It was just not, wasn't a pretty night. But I think we're going to do some live Facebook feeds when we're in RDH.
We will, for sure.
Which would be really cool.
I mentioned to her, I was like, well, it would take too much to edit the video. And I just don't really want to do that. But if we ever had an intern that wanted to edit our video for us.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Sweet.
Again, we will beg for an intern. I think when we do our own location, I think that's definitely reasonable. And I think would be really awesome, too, to do that when we're on location and sitting in front of our computer. Do like a live Facebook feed, which records, and then we can launch.
As Alan and Jason say on Dental Hacks, I have a face for radio, so I don't know if that's such a good idea.
I'm pretty sure you're snapshotting your face. If you look on our Facebook page, there is more of you snapshotting your face. Like, I look good today, so I decided to take a screenshot.
Like, wasn't one of them about my goatee looking really awesome?
Yeah.
I had a really good face day one time. I'm like, wow, yeah, that was exactly. good.
So I think it's funny that you think that you have a face for radio, but... you show everyone on Facebook your face.
Well, I do that for our guests and for us because people want to see you. It's a nice side-by-side comparison, I think.
I think it's fun to see where we are sometimes, too, because, you know, especially with where I travel and you were traveling, too. And, like, right now I'm in my office and I'm a sweaty freaking mess. It is so humid in Charleston right now, and I think today has honestly been the worst day yet this summer. And I was supposed to go paddle boarding with my friends from Nicaragua. Some of them you heard on that podcast that I did for Nicaragua, and I literally went to go put the paddle board on top of my car, and it's like a rumble of thunder came. I was like, yeah, Mother Nature, damn you.
Well, and that's why you're sober right now, so thank you, Mother Nature.
Sober-ish. I did have a glass of wine.
Yeah, but you don't really start getting weird until like 2 or 3 in. So we're good.
This is very true.
You know what we should do? Okay, I want to address something from one of our listeners. His name is Alex. He's a dental hygiene student. here in the Northwest, and he asked a question. Okay, so let me back a little backstory. So he's a student. He is pretty active in Mr. RDH, the Facebook group. Yeah. And he asked a lot of really good questions. And he said he was binging. He just discovered our podcast a little while ago, and he was binging on a couple of episodes. And we had mentioned something about like the Isolite system. Do you remember talking about that before?
God, that was really early on too.
That was super early on. So yeah, that's what he did. He went to the very, very beginning. And then he mentioned today that he's starting to follow Mark Frias, our friend. And I kind of, so he asked me a question about this relief suction system. And, you know, I always try and put anytime it's a product, go ask Mark. Mark knows everything about everything. He's the best. If you guys don't know who Mark is, it's markrdh.com. Follow all of his stuff. He's great. Anyways, so he asked me my opinion on the relief suction system. So I kind of wanted to give you guys a general broad term overview of why I didn't recommend it or why I don't really care for it as much. If you use it, it's great. Their little tagline is, first of all, their URL is www.reliefdental, and it's R-E-L-E-A-F, like the leaf off from a tree, reliefdental.com. And their tagline says, dentistry's best suction solution for ultrasonic scaling and polishing. So, what it is basically, that's part of my beef. Okay, what it is basically like, you know those little dry aids, dry angle things you put on the cheek?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a giant one of those in the shape of a leaf.
Okay.
And it sits on you know, buckle to your teeth, and then it's hooked to your high evac or whatever.
How does it stay? Are they biting on something?
Nope, not biting on anything. It's just
like put how it does in there, and then fish hook the side of their mouth.
Well, and that's what it is. It is actually fish hooked. Like the suction will be coming down by their ear.
But is it not like that high volume is so heavy? Like, is it not pulling on them on their cheek?
According to the pictures, it doesn't look like it's too bad. Usually when it's kind of like fish hooked into them, their cheek can support the weight. I mean, I don't think it's going to be too bad.
Mm.
Anyway, just go to the website, everyone, and take a look and see kind of how it's sitting in there. But basically, it just sits there along the cheek. My problem with it is, yes, it may be pretty good for ultrasonic scaling and polishing, but I guarantee that the evacuation part of it is not strong enough to take the aerosols at all.
Like a Profi jet like or something like that. Yeah.
What it would be good for is if you're drowning your patient and all the water is going to the back of their mouth.
Yeah.
Just have them lean to one side and it would suck it all out. That's really good for that. As I do restorative function, I need the tongue to be out of the way.
Right.
And
so that's why the Isolite is really good for that.
So I like Isolite. There's Iso Dry too, but Isolite's better because it also has a light in there. And so a lot of times our hand pieces and things like that don't have lights because it's not the high speed. So there's light that you can see in there. Anyways, so that's kind of my thoughts on the relief suction unit. It's fine. It's okay. It's not the best, but yeah, I don't.
And so that
it.
Was his question. So he wanted to know more about that. If you had an opinion
that's
on the it,
answer. That's my opinion on it.
Right.
Not worth it. Get an Isolite instead. You know what? Okay. So before the podcast started, I actually shed a few tears.
This is like the third podcast in a row.
No, I was saying how I never cry the last ones.
Why? Is it about your children? Because that's usually what you get all teary eyed over.
It's almost equally important as my children.
This podcast?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Ken Griffey Jr. had his Hall of Fame induction today. And
that
he read
made you
the speech.
Cry.
And it was, an icon in Seattle for my childhood into my adulthood.
You play sports, right?
I mean, I play sports. I'm not good at sports. But I'm better than crappy people. That's worse. We'll just put it that way.
I just want to say, like, every time you blink, you have, like, these digital, like, little... It's freaking me out. I'm going to record this. I'm not even kidding.
Does this help?
You look like a cyborg right now. I'm going to record this. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, blink.
Record it. I am.
All right, blink. Blink, damn it! I hope your eyes get really dried out. You they can't do it that long. Of course, now it's not doing it. Dang it. It's creeping me out, though. There it goes. It's really weird. All right. Continue on with our podcast.
Nothing. I mean, that was pretty much it for my crying. And yes, it really actually was emotional. And yes, I really did tear up. I didn't cry, but... What have you done lately? We haven't talked in a while, by the way.
I know.
And I feel like I'm talking a lot.
Have I done?
Now.
I just got back from Virginia yesterday. I went up there and did a presentation for two offices, some really great offices, some great one had like actually brought in like the orthodontist, periodontist, and it was them. So it was like the referral area or referring doctors that they do, and they really wanted to integrate Tepe. So I went there, and then I went and spoke with a great dentist who is really forward thinking. She's a general dentist, but really into perio, and she actually speaks for AOSH quite a bit, which if you don't know about AOSH, you should know more about AOSH. That is the American Academy of Oral Systemic Health. And so they're really talking about that oral systemic link that we all probably need to know more and more and more about. And so she's great. And then they were literally like 45 minutes away from my family. So I went and hung out with them. I went to my one, you know, and this is the, I sent you a text message and I was like, I just ate Filipino food.
You did. I was very jealous.
And you did not text me back. So obviously you were so jealous. Surprise. You couldn't even talk to me.
So angry.
Yeah. So this was my like Filipino side. Like I always joke that I'm the minority in my family because there's like Filipino, Native American, Colombian, like kind of the side of the family. So I went up there and, had some delicious Filipino food, but I stayed with my younger cousin in that group. And he has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old who I adore. I mean, they're super smart. And the 5-year-old, has bunk beds. And so he always wants me to sleep with him in his bunk bed. So I sleep on the bottom bunk, which is just such an experience. And so he was like, I'm going to sleep with you. And they kind of, it's kind of a weird thing because I have nephews and they call me Auntie Michelle or Auntie Shell. And I'm not his aunt. I'm his cousin, technically his second cousin. And so he goes between like calling me Cousin Michelle and Auntie Michelle, like, because I'll say, no, Auntie doesn't want to do that because I'm so used to saying Auntie and it throws him off completely. But he's like, Auntie Shell, I want to sleep with you. And I was like, all right, buddy, you can sleep with me tonight. The kid forgot to put a pull-up on.
Oh.
So I got peed on.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
And what the greatest thing was is that kid peed the bed, got up, ran into his parents' room, got dry underwear, dry sheets and everything, and like left me to sleep in his bed. I woke up the next morning. I was like, did you really pee the bed and then hightail it out of there? And he's like, yeah, I did. I was like, you shit. God.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I will definitely tell his first girlfriend for sure.
Nice.
I'm definitely going to keep that little story.
Do you remember the type of food? Sorry, I'm going to go back to the food parts. That's pretty important in my life.
Oh, yeah. So, pancit or ponset? I don't know.
Ponset.
Yeah. Ponset.
Yeah.
Lumpia, for sure. Pontesal. Oh, I love Pontesal.
Oh. Did they make it themselves or did they buy it somewhere, the Pontesal?
No, they bought it from a Filipino bakery. And it was like super warm. Oh, it was delicious.
The best thing that I've ever had in the Philippines probably was... Yeah, like 6 a.m, you go to the bakery and they're still making it. And so it's got that little like warm crust on the outside.
On the top,
the States is a little bit different than it is, over in the Philippines, but it's like, it's warm and you get like a little bit like peanut butter, a little bit of butter and you're good to go. Oh, so good.
What language of the Filipino language do you speak? Because he's my uncle is like, they're like 60 or 80 or something.
Oh, I'd say, yeah, at least. I speak Tagalog, which is like their main
Oh, yeah, dialect, that's what he like speaks the in, yeah. Part. Okay.
When I was there, like I was in areas that spoke Kapampangan, which is a kind of a smaller dialect area. And then a lot of Ilocano, too, kind of like in the second half of my mission. I didn't really learn a lot of those ones. I mean, I learned a lot of like missionary phrases like, hey, do you mind if we say a prayer real quick before we leave? Or, you know, just that kind of stuff having to do with like the religious part. And then, of course, like, where are you going? How old are you? What's your name? All that kind of basic, yeah. Basic stuff. But it's not like, you know, where I speak, you know, one type of American English and you speak kind of like a Southern weird right. one. It's not the same like that. It's just, it's totally different. So,
well, it's like their mother tongue. It's the same in Uganda where they speak about 60 languages, but I think it's British, English, French and Swahili are big ones. And then it's like the mother tongue of the village, which could be a combination of Lord knows what. So sometimes like we, in between, if we were going to certain villages, like we would not even have the same translators the next day because none of those translators spoke the language. Or if we had, maybe I was doing triage and one person, I had this one translator all day long and one person sat down and they had no idea what that person said. Then we had to go find somebody that actually spoke that language. It's nice. Crazy though. Crazy to think that one country, I mean, it's just insane. I wish we could all just speak universal language.
Really? Because I'm the opposite. I really wish that we, I mean, yeah, I know
but
we
you
have,
also you know, pick up on Spanish, language really easy.
You know what, though? Let me tell you a quick little story here, Michelle.
Is it going to be quick?
Yeah, probably. Okay, so when I was there, I was actually, so they put you with, the newer people that are coming in are usually there with tenured people, right? So they don't get lost and whatever. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to train 3 Americans on this whole language thing.
Yeah.
And I had one, we call him follow-up trainer. So he'd already had a trainer and I came in a little bit later. He was so good at the language, but he was so stubborn and really hard to work with. As opposed to one of my favorite companions as far as like hard work ethic and stuff like that, he butchered the language. He couldn't even speak English correctly. He's from a farming community, very 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 like he had a hard time reading it, writing it, speaking it, just terrible. But when he tried to speak it, people understood him so much better than the person that was really really educated and did a really that technically spoke it better.
Oh really?
It was very bizarre. Yeah. And so I mean, you don't really have to be able to speak the language. You just have to have a, you know, an interest in the people that you're speaking to, I think. And I really think that it's a shame that people don't speak more. I mean, you go to Europe, people speak all sorts of languages in Europe.
It's yeah, not, but they all also are know English.
Well, true, but it's not uncommon to also know French or Spanish or something.
Oh, definitely,
else.
But that's their common language. Like my boss, when he goes and does work with, I don't know, 3 or 4, like maybe it's German, it's Swedes, it's UK, and I don't know, it's the French. They will universally speak English to each other.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I like that too.
Yeah.
That is our base language, and then everyone else speak whatever they're comfortable speaking.
So do you want to do 23andMe? Because you did it, got your results.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to... Let me pull it up as we're talking. When we listened to it on Accidental Geniuses, they talked a lot about a lot of things they got.
That I did not get.
I did not get them either. And maybe I just didn't do this right.
I they were like unlocking like secret passageways in this website that I am not
How did they get
familiar.
There?
I don't know. But maybe they also probably had some variants maybe that we don't have.
Maybe.
I don't know. Browse raw data? I don't know. So for listeners that don't know what 23andMe is, it is a DNA kind of, so your data belongs to you. It's all here. There are some limitations to how you should interpret this raw data. Raw data could include sensitive information. I understand. I'm going into the secret passageway. going into the dark side right now. You can view your
Where did you find that one at?
Under tools, browse raw data. I don't think I'm sophisticated enough to understand what this means. It's showing me my chromosomes and...
So just click on a chromosome and see what happens.
And see what happens, yeah. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand that. Do you remember doing that with your with the DNA stuff? That A or G, G, C, T, whatever.
It hurts my brain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's not go into that, I don't think.
I love biology and I love the science, but I have to be in that, like, mindset. to do it. So, okay, I didn't explain 23andMe, which I was actually going to go to the website to tell me because I don't think I'd do it justice. But pretty much what Andrew and I did, we spit into this little thing and it told us where we came from or what our relatives could have been and like where we really came from. And it actually separates or looks at genes and alleles and things like that of like right now it's telling me that I have a chromosome pair 1 which would make me smell asparagus odor after you urinate.
Yes. Hold on. Like it's before we get, like let's go on these like kind of one by one ish.
Okay. What page are you
let's
on?
Let's do the ancestry composition one.
All right.
So this one, listeners, tells you basically, based on your DNA, where did your family lines come from?
Yes.
And if you've seen me, you can probably guess by how incredibly white I am, where I came from. I'm not your average shade of white. I don't tan. So you can probably guess where I'm from. Where were you from? I feel like you told me one time.
I'm European.
What percentage I'm European?
99.8% European.
Holy crap, you beat me. How did that happen?
I am 97.8 Northwestern European, 67.4% British and Irish, 8.1% Scandinavian, which is where I think I get my cheekbones from. I'm 3.5% French and German, 0.3% Finnish, and 18.6% broadly Western European.
Okay, so let me do the European part then.
Okay.
So I'm 98.1% European, so pretty darn close. Of that 98%, 87.3% Northwestern European, 42.7% British and Irish, 11% French and German, 3.8% Scandinavian, and then 29% broadly Northwestern.
And then there's some Southern. I don't know what any of that means.
Do you have like Southern European and all that stuff on your thing too?
Yeah, I have Southern European. I'm like 0.3% Southern European, 0.1% broadly Southern European, and broadly European 1.7%. I don't know what that means.
I am 4.7% Southern European, which is Iberian, Italian, Sardinian, and Ashkenazi Jewish. I'm 2.5%.
Nice. Which our buddy Daniel Lopez was that as well.
I knew we were related.
But he was Native American. That's all I wanted.
So what is your other little bit? Your point, whatever.
0.1%. Sub-Saharan African.
So
I guess I'm less than 1.1% Native American.
I am 1.7% Sub-Saharan African, 1.5% West African, and 0.2% broadly Sub-Saharan African.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 0.1% East Asian. And the funny thing is, like, I told everyone at work about that, and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's probably because I was kissing Allison before I took the test, and some of her spit
got a little bit of that. The rules were none of that stuff before you spit. 30 minutes, buddy.
I don't think that's really true. I don't think I was doing any of that. But you never know. Okay, so What are some other interesting things the reports told you?
Let's see. Well, actually, so it's funny that we were just doing this because I got an email from them that said they unlocked a new gene in my report. Let me go to it and see if I can. It was something about my diet and body mass index.
So while you're looking at that, I'll tell. So they have this thing where it says if you're a carrier for certain things, and a lot of these things I've never heard of. They're weird ones. But they also have like cystic fibrosis is in here, and all of my stuff says variant not detected. So thank goodness. The one that I'm super happy that they did not detect was maple syrup urine disease, type 1B. I was really nervous about the maple syrup urine disease that I might have a variant,
but I don't.
So, dodge another bullet.
Yeah, yeah, Andrew.
And also, I don't have Usher syndrome. So
Usher? You will not be an amazing R&B singer?
No. Not to have the silky voice of Usher.
Zellweger. I'm not a variant on that one, so me and Renee cannot hang out.
Nice. Nice. Hey, you could do better anyways.
Yeah, I don't have any variants. What about some of your traits? Let me go to the traits.
I think that the taste and smell is the one that you were talking about earlier, right? About the asparagus.
Let me go to the taste and smell.
What is your taste? What are you more inclined?
Tell you this. Bitter taste and sweet taste.
Me too.
Yeah?
I think because I'm so more likely to taste the bitter things, I don't like a lot of bitter tasting things.
Like what?
So like
what?
Vinegar.
Oh, see.
Acidic things. I just don't care for them that much.
I eat kimchi constantly. Well, it's good for like a probiotic and digestion, but.
So I can eat kimchi also. I think it just depends on how it's prepared.
Yeah, some of them suck. But there's one that makes local kimchi. Oh, it's dead to die for. It's so good. I miss it when I travel. Asparagus odor detection. Is that what you got for smell?
Hold on. Are you likely to prefer salty or savory snacks?
Let me click on this. Isn't this crazy what they can tell you? This is nuts.
Yeah, it's super crazy.
Where is that?
That's below the...
Oh, there we go. I'm pretty much 50% down, prefers salty, prefers sweet. 50-50.
Interesting. I prefer salty. 60%. 60-40.
Yeah, that's not a huge...
Which is pretty true.
But I'm a big throw some M&Ms in the popcorn at the movies, so... Fan of that.
All right. Andrew, you are likely to be able to smell the asparagus metabolite in your pee. I like how it talks like that. That's great.
So funny. Because it blew me away. People were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what? When you eat asparagus, you don't know immediately? And they're like, no. I was like, there's something wrong
with
you.
It says 66% of all 23andMe customers can smell it, and 34 cannot smell it. So it seems like more people can smell. Maybe they just got used to it, or they just like...
No, aren't. There's no getting used to that.
I don't know.
No. Oh, my God. It's very pungent.
I don't know.
Metabolite production? What does that mean? The ability to smell the asparagus metabolite in urine and the ability to produce it don't necessarily go together. Some people who don't seem to produce it can still smell it. And some people who do produce it can't smell it. Oh, that sucks for them because then they don't even know, like, the person that goes behind them how bad that smells.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast once where they had someone eat a bunch of asparagus and pee into, like, in a bathroom, and then they had people go in afterwards to see if they could smell it or not.
Mean.
They did some sort of a test. Well, I mean, I think they're just trying to figure out the test, but...
What it says, the scientists think the funny smell in your urine after eating asparagus is likely a byproduct, a metabolite of digesting the aptly named Guaiacic acid, a molecule found only in asparagus. Whatever the culprit, your genes seem to influence your ability to smell it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a couple more of these, and we'll just move on. We'll come back to it maybe another time. Hair loss.
Where is
I'm
that?
Not likely to experience hair loss before the age of 40, which made me happy. And if I have hair loss, I am not likely to experience a distinct bald spot. So thinning, maybe then, but...
That's under trait?
That is under traits and under hair.
I would suspect.
Hair. Mm-hmm.
Color. Definitely got light or dark hair. Okay. Well, that pretty much covers a broad spectrum there. Oh, wow.
Do you remember any other weird ones for you?
I thought this was pretty interesting, the one that I got today, actually, about the BMI. You're likely to have dark hair. You are correct. Good job. And likely to have curly hair, which I do. Even though I'm constantly straightening it, so you can't tell.
I don't know that I've ever noticed that you have curly hair.
I straightened it, and then I did the straightening, I'm losing the word that I want to use. The Brazilian kind of thing where they straightened my hair and I just never got it back. I like ruined my hair.
No clue what you're talking about, but it sounds great. I'm sure our listeners know.
The girls know. I have no doubt.
Mm.
I don't see where it says if I'm going to lose my hair.
It's in the third section on the...
Oh, I did say, Michelle, you are likely to have been born with little or no hair, and they ain't lying at all. And I was like 2 years old when I got hair, finally.
I'm like my oldest son. He's bald. Just scroll down below that. Doesn't say anything for you?
Negative.
Oh, maybe it's just like a
male thing.
Yeah. Do you remember what it said for caffeine consumption for you?
What? Oh, caffeine. Caffeine. Likely ingest a lot.
Mine says likely consumes more. And I want to let you know, listeners,
yeah,
shout out to Red Bull.
What? You moved on?
I don't have any Red Bull right now. But it says I'm likely to consume slightly more caffeine based on a genetic variant. So I'm just saying it's not my fault that I drink more caffeine. And that
I got likely
more.
Consumes more. What about sleep movement?
I am. Go back to it.
It just blows me away that they are going this deep from spit. I spit into a tube and they're telling me these things.
What are you?
I am likely more movement during sleep. Which
is
probably very true. Yeah.
I'm likely typical or less movement during sleep.
And since you don't drink, you really don't know about this alcohol flush reaction. But have you ever noticed when somebody drinks, they get really red sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
No?
I have. I mean, I've never drank. I understand what you're meaning.
Well, I am unlikely to flush. I'm unlikely.
Me too. Unlikely to flush. So just in case I end up starting one day, I will know that I can hide it from the world when I'm drunk.
I don't agree with this where it says that I am less likely a deep sleeper because I feel like I sleep pretty hard.
I have lately in the last few years, several years, I guess. What's your muscle composition?
Excuse me. Likely a sprinter, which is totally true. I have no endurance.
Well, me too. Likely a sprinter, which is totally not true because I don't run. So
yeah, but what they're saying is like you.
Oh, don't explain it. I know what it means.
Oh, Jesus. Just never.
Anyways, we should probably move on because we're starting to eat up a lot of time.
Yeah, but wait.
We're like 40 minutes into this thing.
But wait. Hold on.
Right, hurry.
I wanted to talk about this one that I got. I thought it was really cool.
Okay,
Hold on, let me go.
Because there's no story time with Michelle for today.
So this might be story time with Michelle. So it said, Michelle, your weight is likely to be similar on diets high or low in saturated fat with the same number of total calories. Isn't that crazy that they would know that? So what can you do? Limit your saturated fat intake, which I do not usually have any saturated fat. It may not have a large effect on your weight, but it's important for reducing your heart risk, disease, and it goes through that and says, recommendation, saturated fat intake is something many of us should keep an eye on. About 70% of Americans eat more than the recommended daily amount of saturated fat because we're all horrible Americans. Try to consume less than 10% of your daily calories from saturated fat, which is 22 grams of a 2,000 calorie per day diet, folks. So maintaining a healthy weight. Maintaining a healthy body weight can be difficult. More than two-thirds of Americans are overweight or obese. One way to assess whether you're at a healthy weight is by calculating your BMI, which I did, and it is definitely higher than it was 5 years ago, which makes me want to go drink another glass of wine. It's important to maintain a healthy body weight to reduce the risk of conditions like heart disease and diabetes. One strategy is to make healthy choices a daily habit. To get started, try using a paper or electronic food journal to keep track of what you eat for 1 week. By learning about your daily eating habits, you can pinpoint specific food choices that you're that you'd like to improve. So the genetic result is either you get two variants, which are the GG, likely to weigh more on a diet high in saturated fat, or one variant, which is AG, likely similar weight, or zero variants, likely similar weight on diets high or low in saturated fat. Isn't that nuts?
I feel like our listeners didn't know that we were going to talk about so much biology today.
But you know, what's really kind of fun, and I kind of wish I had thought about this ahead of time, is that, you know, it can really be connected to the mouth and how we look at people who are just struggling. I always called it like the princess and the pea syndrome. Like a patient could leave like a speck of bacteria and they were going to have like the worst flare up of periodontal disease. Like just, and versus the next person whose mouth was just a cesspool and they were fine, you know? It's just, and it really does come down to that host response in your genes and how you react to certain things. It's nuts. But I am so glad that we are learning so much about this. I mean, this is so cool.
You know, it'd be really cool is to contact them and say, okay, what are you doing for the dental side of things?
Ooh.
Let's get a whole division of dental going.
That would be really cool.
Right? And then we can get paid lots of money. Probably have to relocate to Europe or wherever this is based out of.
I think it's local, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I say local as in like the whole U.S.
That's local enough.
Let me look.
So while you're looking up that, so I've decided because you mentioned about writing out like your diet for a week and things like that. And I've, you know, I don't eat terribly, but I don't eat the best. But I just decided that I was going to start tracking my steps. I know I'm like 5 years too late for this thing.
Oh yeah, I was going to say.
I was like, lately, I've been taking the dog on more walks and stuff like that. I've been feeling a little bit better because of it. So I, you know, that Couch to 5K. Have you heard of that?
What is it? Oh, Couch to 5K. Oh, yeah.
Couch to 5K. So with my phone, they have something similar. I have an Android phone. It's called S Health, and they have baby steps to 5K, and that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to find a 5K. I start it tomorrow. And it's actually very easy. Like, I'm not too. It's only about a 30-minute workout, three times a day or three times a week. But then I was like, well, I just feel like that's not enough, right? Like, I could probably easily do that. So then they have. Have you ever heard of Diet Bet?
Yeah.
So I was listening to. I've done Diet Bet before, and it's pretty easy to win. I think like you could. You could easily manipulate and starve yourself for a couple of days and win your challenge or whatever.
Because that's the healthy way to do it.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's so subjective. I feel like there are ways to do it. So Elijah Desmond actually posted a long time ago about it. And then I was listening to Tim Ferriss and he mentioned it on one of his most recent podcasts. And I was like, you know, I don't want to do Diet Bet again, but I will do Step Bet. So it kind of goes, you know, in line, and they have their formula says, in order to win, I need 4 active days and 2 stretch days. So my active day, so they baseline, you average, 6,500 or 7,000 or whatever, however many steps you average a day. And it says for your average, your new average day, your new active day is supposed to be 9,181. That's what I'm supposed to be at.
Oh yeah. Like 10,000 is like what you should be doing, right?
I'm incredibly sedentary. Like it's a 10-hour day, but it's sitting for most of the time.
Oh yeah.
Day,
I mean, right? Our job is downside to it.
For my stretch days, it's 1,200 steps. So it's about 3,000 more than normal. So, which actually is not that bad because it's maybe a little bit more than a mile, and I have a nice little mile loop that I do. So it won't, I don't think it'd be too hard, but it will push me. So we'll see.
Well, good.
And if I win, I get a share in the pot.
You get to what?
I get a share in the pot. The pot is $6,680. And we each put in $40, and then all the winners get to split the pot.
You should get listeners involved in this.
I know. I thought about doing one just us, but I'm going to see how this one goes first. And the cool thing is it runs through September 4th. So it's about a 6-week one rather than, a 3-week one or a 4-week one.
Nice.
So we'll see.
Actually, you know what? I've been wanting to tell listeners about this app that I use now to work out because I'm pretty active. I have to make myself not go to the gym 7 days a week. Like my body hates me by day 5, but, I definitely do. I like weightlifting. I have no endurance. I hate cardio with a passion. I would go and lift like as much as I possibly could and hurt myself and rather than get on a treadmill. But I've actually used this app for years and I just kind of forgotten about it, but Nike training app, and it's free. It is freaking amazing. It's like the best app that I've ever downloaded. And that's out saying a lot because I have a lot of crap on my phone and I like pictures and all and like editing that kind of stuff. It is, I guess, the most versatile app for free. So essentially
what do you like about it though? What are the features?
So pretty much when I log into it, I can say today I want to get strong, get lean, get endurance, or get focused. So in the get strong, they'll have X amount of exercises. And then I say I'm a beginner, moderate, or advanced, depending on how many days. And so I click in that category and then it like narrows down all the exercises that I would do. And then I can narrow it down even more if I have only 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I have a whole full hour. And if I want to get focused, meaning like I just want to do abs that day, I just want to do arms that day, just want to do legs, butt, whatever, like it will break it down for you. So that's why I liked it years ago. Well, they just updated it and now they'll do a whole program for you. So
nice.
I just did, I'm on like week 4 of a 12-week program and I put in, like my height, my weight, my goals. Do I want to get strong? Do I want to include running? Do I want to get more flexible? Do I like that kind of stuff? And it literally generated 12 weeks worth of exercises.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's so good.
And it broke down per day, like what you're going to, what exercises per day.
What, say that again?
It broke it down, which exercise you're going to do per day.
So when I go on my phone now, like I did Sunday's exercise today and, it then said it talks to you. So it says, you're going to do 20 squat jumps. Remember to, be forceful in your up, but land softly, squatting down, keep your butt out, but your knees before, don't go over your toe. Like it sits there and talks to you. And then there's some timed ones and then there's some, rep ones. So if I've done 20 squat jumps, it could have taken me a minute. It could have taken me 5 minutes. I just hit the check mark and it goes to the next exercise. All right. Now we're going to do plank for 30 seconds. Remember to keep that flat back, you know, think about your core, you know, elbows under your shoulders, you know, all in line. Like, it talks to you. And then if it's timed, you know, it'll say, we're going to do a minute of walking lunges. You know, you're 40 seconds into it, 30 seconds, keep going, you know, have good form. It's so, I mean, it's brilliant app. It really is. So I've actually been meaning to tell more and more people about it because I, like I said, I love working out and I go, but sometimes I get like really stagnant. Like I'm just like, oh, well, I'm going to do biceps and back today. And I do the same exercise. And like, this is more like a boot camp style exercise. And I could choose if I don't have any equipment or if I do have equipment, like I'm in a gym.
Yeah.
So it's so awesome.
I'm going to have Allison do that because she does a couple other ones, that are like $10 a month. Not too expensive, but it sounds like it's exactly the same thing of what you're saying. You put in what's available to you, how much time you have, where you're at, and then they kind of make up a program. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it sounds pretty
cool. So,
so just Nike, what?
Nike training app.
Nike training app. Okay.
Yeah. Not like your Nike where they used to like have the little computer in your shoe. Cause I think that's still like Nike running or something, but Nike training app, but it's really pretty awesome. I'm a big fan. And so I'm on week 4 and I like get excited about, I mean, it's kicking my butt too. And I, like I said, I work out a lot and I've pretty much been sore every day since I started this thing, but it puts in recovery days and it does stretches at the end. It does a warm up in the beginning. It's really awesome. So that's Michelle's favorite thing for this week, this month, probably.
Let's maybe, I have a story to read.
All right.
A little thing. So listeners, we're toying with an idea about, since Michelle has her own segment and I want to have my own segment, but we're not really sure what that's going to look like yet. I'm so jealous because I don't talk enough as it is, but I really do all the time. That I think we're just going to do, I'm going to find just crazy and weird stuff on the web. And
on the interweb.
On the interweb.
Are you going to go into the dark web?
No, I'm too scared. I feel like they'd hack my life if I did that.
Did you see House of Cards where he did that? He's in jail now.
Yeah.
Sorry if everyone.
They do it on, what's that other show? Oh my gosh. Anyway, whatever. There's another show out there that they talk about.
Deep web.
With Anonymous. Anyways, whatever. Okay. So this article, I'm not going to tell you where it's from until the very end. It's entitled, 5 Dumb Questions Never Ask Your Dentist. Now, to be fair, a lot of the English is going to be terrible in here because it's translated into English from a language that's not English. Okay. And there's the 5 things. It says, when you visit a dentist, you must make sure that you act in a reasonable way. And a lot of these things are so direct. It's so great. When you ask the dentist concerns, they must be pertinent to the attention of your teeth. Here are 5 questions that you simply shouldn't ask your dentist. Number 1, do not ask the dentist to lessen their rates. A dentist needs to charge the amount that they are. If you aren't happy using the amount that they charge, you must look for another dentist rather than asking your current one to lower the rates or give you a discount. When you first see, this is number 1. That's awesome. When you first see the dentist, they will go over the things they charge for a medical exam. When they have to change this amount, you may be notified of that when it occurs. Number 2, a patient should avoid asking personal questions with their dentist. That's so the opposite of what we try and encourage in the States. You should never ask your dentist private questions, for example, if they are married or have children.
Wow.
Another thing you should never ask your dentist is how old they are. This information is private to that person. The dental practitioner will supply that info to the patient should they want to. But you, the individual, should not ask them questions like that. Personal questions usually are not crucial if you are in the dentist chair. Oh, that makes me laugh. You're right. It is not crucial. Listen from what they ask of you and let them do the function that they desire to do.
Interesting.
I don't know. Number 3, asking the dentist why you need x-rays is another question that shouldn't be asked.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't need it. I'm going to get brain cancer.
The dental practitioner will have... Okay, hold on. Sorry. The dental practitioner will have to have the rentgenograms to keep track of the way your teeth are positioned in your mouth. Remember when we were like, rentgenology? Anyways, the rentgenograms.
Are you speaking English?
Well, they're x-rays. Yeah, rentgenology. The study of x-rays, whatever. Anyways, because of Rankin, the guy that started all dentistry. Yeah, whatever.
That's why I didn't teach like radiology.
Yeah, I love radiology. Anyways, to keep track of the way your teeth are positioned in your mouth, they want, and I don't understand this part, they want this guy's name, Preston Rowland DDS, for their graphs. This has to be something that's lost in translation. But they want Preston Rowland DDS for their graphs. It is essential to let them take the x-rays when they desire them. Understand that they will make certain that you simply put on a protective covering when they're planning to take the x-rays and that it'll be a safe process. You won't take Dr. Nottingham dentist to finish the procedure, so let them do the things they have to do. I don't know where those two doctors' names came in, but it did. There's a third one coming in too. Number four, don't ask the dentist about other medical ailments, except that they deal with Perry Hall Family Dentist. I don't know. What? Must never ask your regular. I feel like it might be not a spam, but like, you know how people are working on search engine optimization. They have Perry Hall Family Dentist on different websites, like they'll get more, they'll hire up the search. Anyways, this is probably what it is. They must never ask your regular doctor about illnesses with which you have queries about. The dentist is specific to their own field, and you also must avoid asking questions about conditions which you have. The dental practitioner will not have enough time to go through all another health issues which you have, which is true.
That's unfortunate, though. I like talking about the other stuff.
Yeah, but it's not. Okay, whatever. Number five, never ask your dentist if they could hurry up with your appointment. The dental assignment will require as long as required. Dental assignment will require as long as required. Whatever.
Yeah. Therefore, so asking it'll this take question, as much time as it takes. Get over it.
Yeah.
Your mouth didn't end up like this overnight. It's not going to take me 30 seconds to get in and out.
That's right. Therefore, asking this question will allow you to seem ridiculous. It'll allow you to seem ridiculous. You need to get the most effective care possible, so be sure that you just let the dentist do a fantastic job. They will possess a special procedure that they are going to follow when they're assessing your teeth and gums. Since this really is critical to making sure your dental health is good, let them do the things they desire to while you're there. Ensuring to ask your dentist relevant questions is extremely important. By doing this, you'll be sure to get the correct information on the best way to look after your oral hygiene. It is crucial to take care of your own smile so you will manage to keep it looking great for quite a long time. Refrain from asking your dentist some of the top five questions if you're in the dental office is going to create a great difference. Okay, so I will tell you that I think this is probably from Brazil, maybe. It's in Portuguese, so I guess Portugal too, but it was translated from Portuguese. Do you have any idea what type of website this came from?
Do I get down?
No, I don't even know how to give you
Huffington Post.
No. Okay, I'm just going to tell you because I'm sorry. I should have prepared that better. It is from a website called Pizzerias do Rio, which is basically a pizza. There are lunch, dinner menus also on the same website.
That is talking about dentistry?
Apparently.
Wow.
So you go to their main page and it tells you where all their locations are in Brazil or wherever.
So what? Is a dentist advertising on their page? Is that why?
I have no clue. I'll send you the link.
I think it's a great idea. I really wish, because, you know, my issue with Tepe is how do I get practitioners to understand it and appreciate it? But I think it also is going to come from the consumer side and educating them a little bit more and making them request it. So I think it's kind of brilliant. Get the consumers involved.
Papa John's and Peyton Manning come out with a commercial about Tepe products.
Exactly. No, just have them literally doing, like, cleaning their teeth, and then it makes consumers go, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
You don't even have tell them what product it is. I should clean my teeth.
Well, I think that's about it. I think that's all I have for this episode.
Well, we're making this one kind of short and without a guest because...
It's not short. Have you seen how much time it's... No. I know we always say that, but I actually looked at the time. It's like 50 minutes in. Hold on.
Well, the reason we're doing this is because we are going to RDH Under One Roof this week. And we are going to have so many guests, and we're going to have so many interviews, and we're so excited. I'm actually a little nervous/excited.
Why are you nervous?
I think because we have so many, but then I also have my responsibilities at the booth and with Tepe, and I want to make sure that, like, I'm in the moment with the podcast and enjoying it and not stressing out about going back to the booth or running behind and the next person's waiting and the technical errors that we have so frequently. I'm like, well, hopefully excited not and this nervous. Time.
I think I have everything figured out for that part. So I feel, knock on wood, that everything's going to be good with the technical part. But we will have Sarah helping us, Sarah Thiel. She said she's going to help us with the podcast.
Really? You didn't tell me that.
She said that she will, it was going to be a surprise. But she said that she's going to help us with a lot of them, actually. And that way, if you're busy or whatever, you need to go, then since she has a lot of contacts and she's like best friends with everybody, it'd be kind of a nice extra person.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah. So don't fret about that. Also, I'm actually going to be prepared. I have a bunch of questions listed out for a lot of our interviewees, and we have a schedule, I think is really nice. So I think that they understand if we say, okay, we got to go, that's all the time, they understand. So,
which is not that I don't want them. I don't think they would understand, but sometimes like people start talking about something that interests me and I don't want to go. I want to hear more. So it's me. I don't know.
So, okay. So the last thing I think, listeners, before we sign off today is Michelle and I are going to take a little bit of a break, but not really a break. We're gonna be playing probably some reruns from earlier episodes, some of our highest downloaded episodes, while we get our crap together. So as we've been saying for what episode is this, 37?
Sure.
For 37 episodes, we've always been saying how crappy our audio is and our technical difficulties. Michelle and I are gonna be working over the next however long it takes, a couple weeks hopefully, to get transitions and make this more of a quote unquote professional podcast and maybe format it a little bit different.
Make everyone think it's going to be professional and then I start speaking and bring it down.
Right. So that's exactly what's going to happen. So it's going to be professional with Michelle also as much as she can get. So, you know, hang in there with us. Also, we're looking for, while we're going to have probably 10 to 12 episodes coming out of RDH Under One Roof, we're still looking for people and things and news stories that you guys want to talk about, topics, products, whatever. I know you guys want me to talk about restorative, and we will later. We need to have another roundtable. I know that people have asked about that, so we'll... I know we're overdue for some roundtables.
And I'm going to Africa, so there'll be that one with my buddy Daniel. Actually, that's what I was doing today, running errands and getting supplies.
Nice. That's going to be so much fun. Yeah. So, yeah, so we should have maybe a couple of episodes worth of content out of your guys' trip, hopefully.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. That's it. Anything else you want to add, Michelle, before we sign off?
Not right now.
All right. Listeners, we love you. Thank you for everything. You're the best.
If you're at RDH, come to the Tepe booth or find Andrew.
Yeah, come find us. We'll take pictures and stuff together. That'd be great.
We love when we meet our listeners.
We really do. All right, listeners. Have a good week.
Bye.
Where's your bye, y'all?
Bye, y'all.
There it
y'all,
is.
All of the y'alls right here.
Okay, that's enough.